This is the beautiful game
described by two ugly gentlemen.
Glory to Columbus!
Who are probably sitting at a soccer bar near you.
McBride's in the box. A hard cross. McBride scores! It's 3-0 United States!
Welcome to Bone and Beam United.
Happy Soccer Podcast Day. What is up? I am Bone.
And I'm a very excited Beam.
Oh my gosh. Listen to me. We are recording this Monday at like 9:30. Usually we record on a Thursday. The reason we're doing Monday, there's only one thing we're talking about today. It's hell is real. You know that. Well, it's MLS Cup and hell is real. And we're talking talking about the black and gold. We're talking about the Columbus Crew. That's what's happening. So,
Kyle McCord.
No, we did that on our radio shows. You did it. I'm going to do it. But listen, we wanted to get on the air as quick as possible after the weekend because, you know, This is a special week. We want you to enjoy this podcast. But we want you to enjoy this week. You have an MLS Cup coming to Columbus. So we're going to break all this down. We're going to talk about LAFC. We're going to get into what happened in this game. But Beamer, give me your like initial guttural, the feeling you had when you found out the Crew had defeated FC Cincinnati.
So I'll just take you through my entire Saturday evening.
Okay, so that works for me.
I settled in watching the game. I was running to get some dinner. Willie was being a gremlin. Meredith's like, all right, put the order in, go get the food, come back. And that's like 5:45. Mm-hmm. Get a notification, food's going to be ready at 5:55. Place is about 10 minutes away. I'm like, all right, kickoff's at 6:09. Great. I should be home by the time that this game kicks off. Order's delayed. Place that I'm going to pick up the food's packed. I'm like, uh-oh, this isn't going to be a good situation. But that's all right. I've got Chris to steer me through. Chris Dorn, legendary play-by-play man, uh-huh. Voice of your Columbus
Absolutely.
Crew. And so I get home, you know, sat down and everything. Got the baby crying, dogs being a pain in the ass. Like, it's just the whole thing. I'm like, not now. Like, this is a big game. And so I get home about the 8th, 9th minute. Obviously, Cincinnati came out with their hair on fire like we predicted. And what was going to happen in the first 15
100%.
Minutes. They get the goal in the 14th minute,
yep.
I think?
Yeah, I think it was in the first 20, and we had talked about how it might be that first 10, 20 minutes. You're going to have to ride it out, and it's going to be tough. And I hoped they wouldn't get a goal, but they did. And what can you say? That was it was a bad turnover from Mo Farsi, who I like, but that was, okay, so you knew you might be down 1-0 on the road.
That's no problem, because I looked at Meredith, and Meredith and I are watching this game together. And, you know, she's watched a lot of Crew with me this year, and we've had great times going to Crew games before. And she's like, well, we're pretty good at offense, right? Like, this shouldn't be that big of a deal. I'm like, oh, yeah, I agree. Like, our best form of defense is offense. Like, the best way that
possession.
The way that this team plays, the best way for them to win this game is going to be through attack. And now the issue is even more dramatized and emphasized because you're down. And first half goes by, and then they score right before halftime. And my head just dipped down. Like, uh-oh, that's not a great situation. Like, down 2-0, heading into the locker room. I mean, you were, 30 seconds away from getting into the halftime locker room, and then they make it 2-0? Like, okay, well, two goals isn't a whole lot to ask for. I mean, with the way that this team has played, it wasn't like a situation in which Orlando, which you were just continuing to, I mean, pound balls into dangerous areas, and they were making, like, last gas defense. Like, Cincinnati was doing some nice things, and they were very intricately keeping the Crew from having like those massive scoring opportunities, right? They were doing a really nice job about that. Second half rolls around. Patrick Schulte makes the save. I'm like, I looked at Meredith and I said, if they come back and win this game, we're going to be looking back on that Patrick Schulte save that saved the season.
Yeah.
Like 2-0 is a much different beast than 3.
Oh my gosh.
And
That save from Schulte is one of the Taylor Twellman has a propensity for going a bit overboard.
Yeah.
Does he not?
Yep.
He did not oversell that at all. That is truly one of the biggest saves in Crew history. It is one of the best soccer plays I have ever seen by any player that is in a black and gold uniform, or in his case, you know, the keeper's colors that he wears. But Schulte is the primary reason you had an opportunity to come back from 2 goals and not 3. That's which, again, like you said, becomes basically impossible on the road against a team as good as Cincinnati.
And I kept saying to Meredith this, I said, get 1, get 3. Like that's where I was at.
Yep.
Because it felt like they were, and then like all of a sudden it became crew tidal wave. It was just knocking on the door, sustained pressure, And at that point, I'm like, get one, get three. You have the first goal that goes in, technically an own goal, but anytime a ball comes across the box, dangerous area, guys get onto the end of it, anything could happen. And we were just both so pumped. And that was, what, the 74th, 75th minute?
Yeah.
Like, you got 15 minutes left to go, and all of the momentum is on you. All of the pressure that we had talked about Cincinnati trying to deal with that, all of the pressure now is on them. Mm-hmm. You have momentum. They have pressure. How can they handle this? This building is nervous.
Yeah.
This building is nervous. And then, of course, a remarkable goal at any league, any status, anywhere in the world. When Cucho flips that sucker right to Rossi, and Rossi just buries it right corner, it's 2-2. Meredith and I are losing our minds. Like, she couldn't sit down. She's pacing across back and forth the living room. She's putting up Christmas decorations. She's like, I can't get too invested in this game or else I will have no fingernails. Like, what are you talking about? This is great. 2-2. As soon as they got the second goal, I'm like, it's a win.
We're winning this game.
Was no other option other than to win the game after you tied it.
Dude. It felt like a million balloons at the same time in Cincinnati just went, just like deflated completely. When that second goal went in, all the noise you were hearing was all the crew fans.
Yeah.
That and all the Cincinnati fans going, oh no. Yeah. Like, they knew it. Everyone knew it. Twelman knew it on the broadcast, on the, you know, TV broadcast, if you got to watch on Apple TV, as I said. And Doran knew it on the call. If you listen to the call, he knows it. Like, everyone in that building knew. You get that second goal, it's pretty much now the crew are going to find a way, because you've come back from, and I know they did it early in the spring where they got back from 2-0 down, and then you had the Schulte mistake. That wasn't happening.
No.
Schulte has
forged in the fire.
Man, I'll tell you what, like, we can start with him. I could talk about every single player on the field, and we will. We'll probably mention all of them at some point today, but start with Patrick Schulte and just how incredible he's been this season. This is a guy who helped you win the, you know, MLS Next Pro League last year with the Cappies. And heck is plausible. Great in those moments. He's great in hell is real now. He had all the redemption you won in this game. He was unbelievable.
It's been through the playoffs. I mean, towards the end of the year and through the playoffs. I mean, he's tremendous.
Yeah.
Tremendous.
Yeah. I'm excited to see what he does. His future's very bright. And this is the thing, folks, crew fans, you got to realize we have been very lucky to have a lot of guys here that you bring them in, they're at the level, they stay here for 3 or 4 years, and they're really, really good. He's one of those players that I could absolutely see being a 1 or 2 year player here, and then someone else is like, no, sorry, he's too good.
We love a national team goaltender here.
Hey, man, I'm not saying he's there yet, but the way he's playing has got to be on people's radars. You have to pay attention to him. So let's talk about, though, a guy that I've maligned a lot on this podcast, and a guy that I
don't know
pretty
which
much
one you're going to say
ready to bury, on the Twitter sphere during the game. That would be old Diego Rossi.
Mm-hmm.
That is the guy who tied this thing up for you. That is the guy who I thought through. I mean, listen, when they subbed out Aiden Morris in favor of
it was a bold move, but it was a move that had to be made
to bring in Christian Ramirez, who is, again, like I said, we're going to talk about all these guys. But when they didn't sub off Rossi, I questioned Nancy 100%. I did not get it. I thought Aiden Morris had played really well.
Yep.
And then there were a couple minutes right after that where you started to see Cincinnati controlling possession and getting the ball more. And I'm like, oh my God, we're going to have that. What? I forget what game that was where we were. What's the one that we just had where we were down? This was in the regular season, probably the last bad loss the crew had, where we subbed out guys. And then, was that the Atlanta second playoff game, maybe? Where we were down 2-0 and we subbed out all our guys, and then they, like, immediately got another goal? Do you remember what game? Yeah, I don't remember what game it was, but there was a game recently where Nancy made his subs, and like 2 minutes later, it was like, well, that was all stupid because now we're done 3-0 and it's over. I think that was the Atlanta second playoff game where it didn't end up mattering, but, you know, that was something where I thought, oh no, we're going to give this up here and this is over. We're toast. But yet somehow, crew found a way, and Diego Rossi, man, he kept playing, and I will give him that credit. He did not give up on this game. Nancy did not give up on him for whatever reason. Maybe that's because the price tag that he has. Maybe that's because Nancy sees something. But you know what? who did Nancy bring in as well in this game late that I'm sure I groaned, every crew
Kevin
fan
Kevin Molino.
Groaned. Kevin Molino.
And what did he do?
Hot Boy Summer. And yeah, what did he do? Dropped a dime on Cucho's forehead.
Yeah.
Perfect pass. Yep. Saw it when no one else on Cincinnati certainly saw it. Cucho's waving like a madman. I don't know how you lose track of the best player on the field. Sorry, Lucha Acosta. But I don't know how,
way,
I don't know how they lost.
We can talk about him, too. Like
we've
that,
got, we've yeah. got to. I'll say this. This is to go back to Wilfried Nancy. That is, you know, tactically, you have to make a lot of tough calls. You have to make, you know when to stick with guys, know when not to. And those guys then have to reward you with making plays. All the crew players rewarded Nancy for his efforts and his decisions in this game. I thought Cincinnati, unfortunately, Pat Noonan was kind of hamstrung because Lucha Acosta was not 100% at the end of that game.
And he was unwilling to come out.
He wanted to sub him off. And he went to him. They showed it on camera. And Acosta shook him off and said, no, I'm good. I'm staying on. And
then he didn't move for 30 minutes.
Yeah, it was like a godsend. They were basically playing for penalties as soon as that happened.
Yeah.
You're playing 10-11 with a team that loves to possess and make chaos in the box. Lucha Acosta is out there trying to like flip the ball over you and do back heels and stuff like that. When it's like you're on one leg, what are you doing? Like move the ball, get off it, and then try to like get loosened up enough so you can contribute and then hit some long balls maybe if you can, but. They were literally playing and saying, we got to keep him on the field, I guess, to get to a penalty shootout where maybe he'll, you know, bury a penalty, which I would assume he would. He's arguably the best player at MLS, but not when he's at 30% of what he, or 70% of what he could be. I mean, he was.
Oh, I think it's 30% of what he could be.
He was completely ineffective. And he stands around a lot anyway when he's down on the ball. That, to go back to Rossi, that is one thing you cannot say about him. Now, he was, I thought, for the first half of that game, completely out of position, completely clogging up efforts. Didn't to me
making
seem
the
like
wrong
he
passes.
Had making bad passes, poor decisions, all that stuff. But you know what? I will give him this. He was running his ass off and playing. And then eventually
at the end of the game too, when everybody tired legs,
everyone
at the end of the game, man, he was their engine.
He was, man. I don't know if the crew do this, but if they had like a Frankie Hayek award for like the guy who just runs the most in a game, I would wonder. I didn't look at the stats, but I would wonder if he was factored into like the top five of that in this game. Which for a guy in his position and certainly of his status, that's not always the case. Guys who play his position don't always do that.
Yeah, they're floaters.
Yeah, but you know what? Cucho's the same way. Cucho will put in the effort. You'll see him in the 90th minute, like way down there trying to dig balls out and then still making those big runs late in the game.
I mean, we did see him track back and have a tackle.
We did, yeah. I'm saying, like, he is a stud. Cucho is – we sometimes do this where we skip over, like, the guys. Like, obviously, the story here for me – Christian Ramirez is a huge story. Yep. Cucho Hernandez is a tremendous story, right? But, like, to stay on Cucho for a second, this is a guy who a lot of times you can look at him and say, well, he's not a traditional nine. He doesn't stand up there and just, like, you know, win the ball and going to just fend off, you know, the attacker, the other defenders, and then go make a play and run at a goalie. That's not his game necessarily. But what he does, his spacing, his awareness, and then to have the quick touches, that – remember when Marrera fired that one across the top of the 18 and he hammered it? And if it doesn't go right to their keeper, then it's clearly a goal instantly. I mean, he is just so smart with what he's doing out there.
But he's not a false nine either. Like
he's not. He's like this
advanced. Beyond, he's just an advanced playmaker.
He's an advanced hybrid weirdo
freak.
In the best way. Yeah, freak weirdo in the best way. Like, I love what he does. He does what's necessary. Like, if the game calls for him to be a little more of a false nine, he can go do that. But that's not his game. It's almost like having, like, but he's not a winger necessarily. No. He doesn't play like that. He's just something. He's got his own off the ball, ridiculously good. Yeah. And seeing the spacing, knowing where to be, calling for the ball, and then not being selfish enough to say, I'm at a bad angle, I'm going to try to beat the keeper and be the hero. No, play the smart ball right across to your clutch, the most clutch player that you have on the team in Christian Ramirez. Am I wrong? Christian Ramirez may be the most clutch player at MLS right now, but he is certainly, I think, the most clutch player on this team. Cucho being right there too, but Ramirez just finds ways to get the job done late in these
games. What
were
you thinking when that ball was in the air from Molino to Cucho? Because you could see, it was like the world was going in slow motion.
I'm already starting to yell. I'm like, oh my God. Like, don't screw it up.
Yeah.
We've got him. Just do the smart thing. And Cucho, as soon as I saw the ball going across, I'm like, I'm already celebrating and I'm screaming. The kids are screaming. Melissa's screaming. sadly, our four-year-old Abigail, she's not a huge fan of, like, people singing birthday, happy birthday. She's not a huge fan of, like, loud noises. I wouldn't take her to a game right now just because she gets, like, she seems to be okay at Buckeye basketball games. Yeah. But, like, you know, a crew game can be a little bit louder than that, let's just say. And she got freaked out. She was like, I don't know what's happening. And we were like, it's all good, though. And we gave her little headphones for the rest of it. And so then we made a deal that if the whistle, when the whistle blew at 120, the crew won, we would do silent high fives. So then the game, it was like the quiet place. We were just like, all right, there we go. Just a little ASMR, high-fiving each other. But, man, like, as soon as I saw that ball go in the air, I'm like, same. If they don't screw this up, we're winning this game. Like, it's there. But the whole, it was like 10 seconds of slow-mo is what it felt like for that cross to land. Because I'm like, please just hit him right on the forehead. Please just bounce that across. And
it was like bouncing ball, and they immediately turned it back in.
Yeah, well, because that was a cross.
It was off Marrero's from the other side.
No, it was Gressel, I believe.
That's
right. I think it was Gressel who whipped it in. And was it Amundsen who was on the end of that?
Yeah, and then Amundsen.
Who tried to get to it and got pushed off of it.
Yeah.
And then it fell to Molino. And I'm thinking, oh God, like what? And then I see it. I'm like, oh no.
Oh God.
And then he's doing it. And it's like, this is the thing though. We've talked about having winners on your team, guys who know how to play in MLS. And Kevin Molino has certainly had his issues here. I am not saying at all he has worked out like I thought he would.
He worked out in that minute.
That's a guy who knows how to play in MLS. He did. At one time, I promise you, if you didn't watch him with Minnesota, he knew how to play in MLS. He was really good. And I don't know what has happened to him since he's here. Maybe he lost some confidence. Maybe coming off the bench is not his thing. Either way, that moment, it all was like, yes, this is why you're here. To be a veteran player in these tough moments, to make plays in big games. And he finally did. And then, of course, Cucho knows what to do with it. Mm-hmm. Of course, Christian Ramirez, who now we can spend some time on. I love Christian Ramirez.
We were so wrong about him at the beginning of the year.
Well, I thought it was like a nothing move.
Same.
I was like, we're bringing a guy back, which I remember he played in MLS and then he went off to Aberdeen, or as they would say, Aberdeen in Scotland. Hey, Aberdeen. He was fine there, but they brought him back. I didn't know what to expect. I thought he was a depth piece at best. He is the most consistent outside of Cucho.
Striker.
Yeah, the most like that's is
a
your
striker.
That's a nine. Yeah. If you're wondering when we say false nine, not a nine, this guy's a nine, that's a nine. That right there. Big tall guy who you can just whip the ball in and he finds it and knocks it home. And even the first goal, the own goal that, you know, I don't know if he got a touch to it or not. I said this on Wall to Wall when I was on with Dave Holmes on 10 TV on Saturday night. That was a vibes goal. I love the term vibes. Like, it's just he making that run panicked their back line.
Yeah.
And they were just all at sixes and sevens, to use another soccer term that no one understands. But they were all out of sorts. They're all just flailing, trying to get their legs up. Their guy was clearly beat. He's like, oh, crap, I missed him.
Gotta do something.
He's going to bury this. He sticks his leg out because he thinks it's going in. And he's like, well, just in case it glances, I'll have my foot out. And then it ends up hitting him perfectly and goes in. That's because of the panic that Christian Ramirez creates. He is just so good. And I question why it took so long to get him in the game. Wilfried Nancy.
I don't. Not anymore.
What I mean is like, no, I guess I can't. I'm not going to question. It's one game. I'm not questioning anything Wilfried Nancy does in MLS Cup. I promise you. I will not question anything in this game.
He is tremendous to watch. And you just feel like when he gets subbed on, when Christian Ramirez gets subbed on, that something is about to happen.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, when I know it took a long time for him to get into the game. I understand that. And maybe too long, given the circumstances that you only had. What are they subbing in, the 70th minute?
Yeah, I think that's when all the subs kind of started coming in. I thought
65th. All right, so they had 25 minutes left still. Like, you knew exactly what you needed to do. It was 2-0 at that point in favor to Cincinnati, but the game changed. I mean, as soon as he came into the game, Cincinnati had a bit of possession, and then all of a sudden it was like seismic shift, and the crew just started pounding.
Well,
pounding balls in with possession, getting into dangerous spots, went on counters. Like, I don't know, maybe Cincinnati was trying to get another goal. They almost did get another goal in extra time.
Well, what was the one that they had? I'm trying to remember if that was an extra time or not. No, that was...
Oh, it was in regular time.
When we were still down 2-0, I want to say, that's when they had that goal that went in where it was off of... I'm trying to remember the guy's name that's their other striker off of Brandon Vasquez. Bowanga, is that his? I think. Yeah. Like, they're one of their other really good players. He had that one where he hit it with his hand.
Yeah.
It bounced off his hand, and that one should have been a goal, except for the fact that when you hit it with your hand, it's not, and it's the right call. But that was one that, to me, like, I was almost broken on that one. I'm like, oh, that could be it. I mean, it was something to watch. And I that game had me really in about 100 different moods. I was so down. I was so frustrated. I'll tell you, I think something that hasn't been talked about a lot, or at least I haven't seen talked about a lot, a guy who played ridiculously good for Cincinnati, and Pat Noonan has to answer for this. If I'm an FC Cincinnati fan, I want to know what the hell's going on. Took off Yuya Kubo.
Yeah.
Who was just tremendous. Nails for them.
Yeah.
And when he came off, I'm thinking, like,
ooh,
that seemed like not a great idea. I did not think that was a good idea. I was glad to see him go off, and I thought, well, God, who are they bringing in? And I forget who they subbed in for him, but he's another, like, guy who's been around MLS forever, I want to say.
Is it Raymond Gattis?
I think that's right.
Well, yeah, because he's their captain, right? And then he had an injury, and he was, like, working back from injury.
Yeah, that's right. But yeah. Kubo, I thought, put in a hell of a shift, and I was surprised they took him off. But that I think, was a bad decision on their part. I don't think that worked out well. Now, let's continue to kind of break this down a little bit, because I want to talk about some of the other players on the field. Darlington Nagbe.
All he does is win, man. Did you see his stat line?
No.
So Darlington Nagbe, his stat line, 100 touches of the ball, 80 of 84 on passing. It's 95%. 8 of those passes came into the final third, 4 recoveries, 8 out of 16 duels won, 9 fouls drawn, 0 committed.
He's I'll tell you what, man. Like,
he's such an unsung hero because he's not scoring the goals. I mean, he does score goals like bangers. And there was a point, I forget what time it was, where I think Taylor Twellman again, I thought they had a good game. Like, the play-by-play guys actually had a pretty solid game, too.
You know what? Twellman has his moments where he gets a little too hyped, but I thought in general they were pretty good.
And they hit on a point where it's like the Crew were trying to force a goal, and the tidal wave is again like shifting to them. And I think it was before the first goal. It's like Darlington had an opportunity. It was on his right foot. He was about 23 yards away, like 5 yards out of the box, and he passed the ball. Where I'm like, Darlington, I know you want to be unselfish and like you're the guy, take the shot there. Like, you've hit them in the playoffs before. You've hit them many a times in your MLS career, but he is such an unsung hero. Like, he's not a Cucho. He's not going to bag you a goal, and he's not going to make like a goal line save, and he's not. But he just does everything the exact
way. Look at the two goals that they got, and go back and look at a lot of the goals that happened against the Crew. This, if you don't know how to watch, and I understand it's not everybody is there. If you haven't watched soccer for 20 plus years, like Beam and I have, like, it's okay. Here's how you can learn about the guys like him that do not score goals. You're wondering, are they good or not? Go look at how the goals get scored against the Crew. What happened in this game? You had a poor turnover from Mohamed Farsi, who I think is a solid, good player that the Crew are going to need to continue to be good for them for many years. He had a bad moment, bad turnover early in that game.
And it happens.
And it led right to a goal. That's not something a defensive midfielder can help with.
Yep.
That a center mid, defensive mid, cannot do anything about that. That's a bad turnover. I mean, all you can do is try to bust your ass back and make a play, but if you do, it's like bonus. That's not how you control the game. That's not indicative of his play.
And at his point in his career, he's probably not winning many of those races to track back on.
No, of course not. But that was something that had that's a mistake that put everyone in a bad spot. It does not reflect on your defense at all. Look at the other one, which we didn't get to yet, but Brandon Vasquez tripping over his own freaking leg, and somehow that gets called a foul. And then Luciano Acosta from that distance is about as deadly as it gets. Yeah. And I do struggle with why your three-man wall featured two guys who are shorter than 5'5", but whatever. In either case, that was a great play by them. They got it to his foot, and Acosta made you pay.
Yep.
He's fantastic. That's what he does. But that, again, is not that's nothing against Darlington Nagbe or that central part of the midfield. Go look at the goals. Look at that Atlanta game when they were scoring. You're not coming through the middle of the field against this defense. No. Because of Darlington Nagbe and Aiden Morris, they are so good together. But obviously, Aiden's talented. Darlington has been this guy everywhere he's been. And think about what he came in as. In fact, I don't have to tell you. Darlington Nagbe, do you remember Diego Valeri, who played for Portland? You might remember him if you remember there was a game in 2015 where the Crew played Portland in a, I believe that was an MLS Cup. I vaguely remember. Portland may have won that game.
Was the ball out?
It was. But Diego Valeri, tremendous player from those teams. Tremendous MLS player. One of the best to ever do it. He was teammates, of course, in Portland with Darlington Nagbe. Darlington Nagbe was a winger when he started.
Yeah, geez.
He started as an offensive-minded player and has turned into this. I want to read you what Diego Valeri had to say. This was on Sunday he posted
this. I saw this. This is great.
Selfishness doesn't fit in team sports. The ball must be shared. However, Darlington Nagbe could very well keep it at his feet for an entire match, and I bet no one would take it away. The captain of Columbus is a humble soul and an outstanding football player. I met him 10 years ago, and he was a dazzling right winger with a scoring touch. Today, he's a midfielder who understands everything his team needs because it's his team. The quiet little man empowers himself when he plays. That's how he speaks. In silence, he mourns injustices and savors the candies of pain. Diego Valeri, the poet I never knew
that
I
needed.
That
was all in Spanish, right?
And then yeah, I
was,
think so, yeah.
And then translated into English. Either yes, way, it's great.
This profession has its gray clouds. Nagbe is a sun. Good Lord. He grows on the field. His smile shines on the stage, holding a trophy in his hands as he did in every club he played for. If I ever have grandchildren and they ask about soccer in the United States, I will tell them that I played with him. Holy cow, Diego Valeri. Just, I almost want to weep at how beautiful that sentiment is. But that is one of the best players ever in MLS. Mm-hmm. And a great soccer player, a world-renowned soccer player, saying, I'm proud I played with that guy. That's your captain of this team. That is something that you don't get every day.
Did you see his Darlington emotion Nagbe, after the game?
He was sobbing.
Yeah.
And if you don't remember this, and it's okay, 2020, he was also one of the big reasons why that team was good and made it to MLS Cup. What happened the week of MLS Cup?
Got COVID.
Got COVID, couldn't play. And that was, you know, obviously at a time where we're testing more. And, you know, once you pop a test, even if you're fully healthy, you can't go out there. We're not in that spot now, thank goodness, you know, for his sake. But I can't imagine the emotions that were going through it. But you saw it pouring out of him because he knows what that means for this city. He knows what it means to win that game. And he knows what it means to do it in the state of Ohio where he's from. Darlington Nagbe is an all-timer for me with the Crew. I will forever root for that guy. Seems like an epic human being and just a tremendous soccer player. But what a tower of force that he is in that midfield. Well, he is unreal.
It's not only that. It's not only what he is for the team on the field and how much of a wall he is, or wall or an engine or whatever.
He's a tower. He's
Wilfried,
a wall. He's an engine.
Wilfried
he's
Nazi
everything.
Wants him and needs him to be, and whatever the team needs him to be, like, he's going to do that. But what he does for the community and how he's embraced Columbus and, like, growing up, like, that's
yeah.
that's what you want. Like, when you have a captain and somebody is wearing the armband, and a person is tasked with the responsibility to not only represent the club and represent the players that are going out there on the field, but to represent your city when you're going to these different places. Like, there is no better person to represent that than Darlington Nagbe.
I 100% agree. He is everything you want from a midfielder, from a leader, from a captain, everything. He is all of it. The last guy I think we need to touch on, as we kind of just keep going through it, we could go through all the players, right? Yeah. But the last guy I want to bring up that I haven't yet is Rudy Camacho.
Yeah, really.
They said it on the broadcast, and they are not wrong. It's the little things in soccer. This team was really good last year. They were really good the year before, as far as on paper. But it didn't translate on the field. They missed the playoffs. Why? Because you didn't have the little things right. And that's a lot on coaching, right? That's, again, why we go back to, I've said it, I'll say it again, Wilfried Nancy could be coaching a Premier League team. He could be coaching a Champions League level Premier League team, and he would not be out of his depth. He is that good of a manager. But one of the guys he insisted upon having on this team is Rudy Camacho from Montreal. And I can see why. That is not going to be, no, he's not going to win any beep tests. He's not going to win anybody's fastest sprint. He's not going to be
most
your biggest.
Accurate.
He's not
winning any test.
But he is going to win.
Yeah.
On the field. Like,
right.
When you play 90 minutes, he's going to help you win. And that's exactly – and he knows what is needed. He is such a savvy technical player, so smart.
I got so nervous when they subbed in Shaberko for him.
Right. Yeah.
Like,
of course.
I was like, I'm at home again watching this game, and Shaberko comes in, and I'm like,
oh, yeah.
Big moment.
Yeah, it is like a big moment.
Big deal.
It was good to see, you know what, Shaberko get some play there and good to see, and he held his own. And again, you gotta manage these minutes too, because right. at that point it's kind of interesting. Nancy has to think about I got to get this guy ready to go in 7 days, and he obviously will be, but I can't have him get an injury late in this game. Like, in a way, it was almost like an homage to say, this is how valuable he is. I got to take him off. So he's not the youngest player in the world. You got to make sure he's healthy for that final game. So, that's a big thing. But Rudy Camacho, just take a bow, man. Really improved this defense since he's been there. And there's a reason why teams aren't scoring on the Crew as much late in games as they used to.
And just the mindset to have, though, to be down 2-0 in the 70th plus minute, in the 75th minute, to be down 2-0.
Yeah. Yeah. And say, we're good.
We're fine.
We'll find it.
We've done this before.
Yeah.
We still got 15 minutes. Not to crack, not to fold.
Yeah. I almost feel like, because I was panicking. I'm like, why are you not making subs at halftime? Yeah. Why are you not figuring this out? What are we doing? I wanted Rossi out at halftime. I wanted, all this stuff. And then he doesn't make any moves almost to, like you said, 65 minutes in. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that was almost, again, because Nancy is so much smarter than me when it comes to this stuff, and that's why he's a brilliant head coach. I think he looked at his roster and said, I know it's been bad. I believe in you guys. I'm going to give you chances to dig out. And I think he did about as long as he could and said, I'm going to let you have a chance, and you guys did show me some things, but now I've got to go make some really brilliant tactical moves to get us where we need to be. I didn't think he started with his best 11. I think when Gressel's on the field, they are better. Mm-hmm. But Mo Farsi makes it. Every time Gressel has a bad game, people want Mo Farsi. Every time Farsi has a bad game, they want Gressel. So it's a debate that.
And Gressel played really tremendous when he came in.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a case to be made for either of those guys, right? Like, I'm not saying they're both 100% or 0%. It's just tactically, what do you do? And that's a decision he'll have to make again this weekend. But Gressel, I thought, fit what they needed in this game, where they needed someone. But of course, you bring him in, who else do you have to bring in? You need to have someone who can get on the end of those crosses.
Right.
And that's why you then have to go out and make the move to get in Christian Ramirez.
But Yaw played really well too.
Dude, Yaw has been, remember we all thought he was gone?
Yeah.
Like we thought that's it for Yaw Yeboah. See you later. Probably not going to be a part of this team anymore. I want to say, like, the guys over at Supporter Supply, they did like a bundle where you bought something and got a free t-shirt with it. And it was all their like Yaw Yeboah t-shirts they had made. Because I think everybody thought he was gone. And now he's become an integral part of this team that's fighting for, 50-50 balls. I still think this team has not played its best game, which is good because you've got one more to play. So now's the time to break it out.
It was pretty good on Saturday, though.
It was good. No. It was good for the last
30 minutes.
I'll say the last 60 minutes. 50. 70th minute on, I think they played a lot better. You need a full 90 to start. And to beat LAFC, you're going to have to do that.
I didn't watch a lick of the LA game.
That's good. I did. I'll tell you a little about that. And we'll come back and mention, what does this mean for FC Cincinnati? Or as I like to call them, Kentucky FC. That's all next. You're listening to Bone and Beam United.
¿Quieres mejor internet? Cox Internet de 300 megas tiene las velocidades rápidas y confiables que buscas. Perfecto para streaming y gaming y trabajar desde casa. Todo por solo $45 al mes cuando agregas Cox Mobile. Incluye equipo de Wi-Fi y garantía de precio de 2 años en tu plan. No esperes. Cámbiate hoy a Cox. Requiere Cox Mobile Gig Unlimited. Garantía de precio no incluye impuestos y cargos. Velocidad de datos móviles se reduce después de 20 gigas al mes.
Here's Barrayel. That should end it. It's going to go to the center of the park. Wobedo on the run. Chip ball in. Going to be headed out and away by Gressel. Barrayel's going to be able to get to it. No, that's going to end it. Columbus is your Eastern Conference champion. 3-2 over Cincinnati. Hell is real, baby.
There you go. Chris Dorn with all the emotion. I think every Crew fan felt the same way after that one. Calling the end of the game, 3-2, hell is real, Columbus Downs, Kentucky FC, a.k.a. FC Cincinnati. Beam, I don't know how you feel about this. I feel like this sets Cincinnati back quite a bit. Not that they are going to be terrible next year. They're going to be a top-five team again next year, that kind of thing. But the mental hurdle they have to now get over.
Oh, it's just, it's so much. And I didn't even want to, and again, I think we came into this game, understanding the stakes for a crew perspective, that you go down there, you lose the game. Like, yeah, it would have been heartbreaking, right? I mean, it would have been really tough, and you know, it would have set the rivalry on fire for sure. I mean, it really would have kickstarted, I think, something special, and I think this game did. I think it did kickstart, you know, hopefully what is a tremendous rivalry and everything moving forward. It's just such a bad, way to lose for them.
Yeah.
That it makes you, I mean, it makes you feel great as a crew fan because you staved off defeat and you were down there and all the pressure was on them. You had supporter shield. You won that. Floated through the playoffs. I mean, I know it was a tough game against Philly. You got some help by the VAR. You were down there. This was supposed to be like your coronation ceremony, right? Like Gary was supposed to take the sword out of the stone and they were going to do it and they were going to knight him. Like Dong Arbor is going to hand him MLS Cup next week, and like you were going to be the chosen one. New franchise, look at us. This is great. We've built ourselves up from the depths, and when we were in USL, and you can do it. Anybody can do it. The old plucky Columbus comes along and says, not so fast. Maybe in a couple of years. But the mountain of disappointment and then the mountain of retooling and rebuilding and getting back is such a long road, and it's such a long way because it happens immediately.
Well,
and it's great for us, but that's a terrifying prospect for them.
You hit the nail right on the head, and I don't think they understand this because they're, again, I don't blame them. They've been at this for 5 or 6 years. They haven't been rooting for a team as long as Columbus Crew fans have when it comes to this, or at least they maybe haven't followed MLS as long as a lot of Crew fans have, right? And I know some of their fans are former Crew fans, but they say that they're not really. I mean, if a new team showing up in Cincinnati was enough to make you drop the Crew, then you weren't really a fan, right? I mean, I think that's how that works. But I'll just say this. I saw a lot of fans of theirs after the game being like, guys, this doesn't mean, hey, we still had a great year. Let's focus on the positives.
And they did.
They did have a great year. There's no taking that away. They got a supporter shield out of it. There's no taking that away. The reality is supporter shields are handed out because the way you play over a period of time. And that is how the Premier League does it. That is how all these other leagues do it. Unfortunately for you, or fortunately, however you want to look at it, you're not in those leagues. You're in this league, where the way that you win the thing, the MLS Cup trophy, the one that you get all, that's not making headlines. There's no supporter shield match you can play in. There's no supporter shield match like there is in a U.S. Open Cup final,
right?
If you want to win those competitions in America, you have to win a final. You have to win like a World Cup final. You have to win it like a Champions League final. It's one game for all the marbles. That's what this is. And they have not proven they can do that yet. They've never done it. They've not been able to lock it down in a final. So now they go back to the drawing board. And maybe next year they're right back in the conference finals again. Easily could see that happening. Or you have some injuries, or you have some bad luck, or you just have a run of like 6 or 7 games where you forget how to play. You get a 5 seed instead of a 4 seed. You lose in your first playoffs. Just remember this, Cincinnati fans.
Roster turnover.
You didn't get over the hump, and now you still got to figure that out. And meanwhile, the Crew, as we talked about, Crew players that they have on this team, been there, done that. They have gotten over that hump. They know what they're doing. If I were a Cincinnati fan, I would feel like what you have ahead of you is a walk from Cincinnati to Columbus via 71. Like, can it be done? Sure. But it's a long, like, I'm talking a walk, not a drive. You have to walk that entire length. You can
do it. Which was 110 miles that was pointed out on the broadcast.
I think they mentioned it.
1,000 times.
I think they mentioned it a few times.
It's a long, it's a lonely road.
I'm telling you, it's a lonely, long walk, man. And that's what you're on now. So, yeah, you're right. Next year could be bright. This is what you got staring at you for the next 11 months, unless you can get back here and do it again. So,
well, and like Luciano Acosta, too. Like, I don't know what's going to go on with him. Brandon Vasquez, what's going to go on with him? Like, I mean, there's so many.
You got an all time year out of Lucha Acosta.
Yeah.
Brandon Vasquez didn't have his best year, but he had a pretty good one. He still was like a 20 plus goals accounted for guy. Those guys are good. Can they replicate that again next year? Maybe.
It's another year, too.
It's another year. Yeah. You missed some really good performances that you had, now are up, not up in smoke. You can't take away what happened this year, but you're now have to go back to the drawing board again. That's kind of where I'm at with the Crew in this LAFC game. Like, I didn't think coming into this season, this team was like destined for MLS Cup. I thought it was, man, if we should be a top four team. That's the expectation. They were. They got into the playoffs, and then they did what they're supposed to with that home field advantage. They won. They got into play in Orlando. I thought that could be a tough game.
It was.
It was, but they found a way. Then you've got your rivals, FC Cincinnati. You put them back in their place and reminded them there's only one real soccer team in Ohio, and that's the Columbus Crew. The other one lives in Kentucky. So this now you
they
play.
They are a worthy adversary, though.
Oh, they're, like, they were, yeah. 100%. But, you know, and the ref gives you a gift, and you
capitalize on the gift.
Capitalize on the gift. Can't finish them off with that third goal. They let the Crew hang around. The Crew hung around and got them. That's what it is. That's what it takes to win these games. Now let's move on to LAFC. MLS Cup preview. Give you a little bit of that. This LAFC team, of course, won MLS Cup last year. Mm-hmm. So you have got some absolute legends on this team. Carlos Vela is the, you know, the face of that team, but he is not their best player anymore. He was when they first came in. He was their first player, but that's who they brought in from the start, had them playing at a super high level to start off their campaign. They remind me a lot of the Vegas Golden Knights in a way, like how they came into the NHL just bonkers good right off the bat. Yep. Except they finally, you know, well, Vegas did too. They got their championship, and so did LA last year. So they have some guys, though, that I feel like they have tons of veterans, tons of guys who know how to win. They are, though, at a spot where I think the best team on the field is going to be the home team this weekend. Like, you have beat the best teams in MLS now. LAFC is one of them, but you've beaten better teams than them on this road. So now the Crew have to go out and take care of business at home against a team that they are better than. They are just on paper better than. What do you? I see a wince coming on your face.
I'm so excited for us to host this game.
Oh,
like,
dude!
It wasn't a wince. Like, it was just like a. This is. It's Monday morning at 10 o'clock in the morning, and I can. Oh. I mean, I can already envision what the atmosphere is going to be like and how ready this is. Cause the whole narrative, like the Cincinnati game was like, you defend for 15 minutes. The place is going to be hair on fire. It's crazy. Yeah. Like bring it home. But the best part about this is that if the Crew lose, I'm going to be crushed in the moment.
Yeah.
But it's a successful season. Cause you beat Cincinnati in the Eastern Conference Finals. Oh, yeah, you got to host MLS Cup. Like, if they lose this game and lose MLS Cup final, I will be crushed in the moment. Well, I'll be very, very sad that they didn't capitalize on everything that we were just talking about. But you got a victory down in Cincinnati against them in the way that you did.
Oh.
So everything else, it's not house money because you have a cup here. Like, you want to capitalize and you want to win on that. But it just feels so good to have that.
Beamer, what would you rather have? Like, knowing everything you have now, I give you FC Cincinnati season, but it's the black and gold. They win Supporters Shield. They're the best team in the league. Or
no,
but then you lose this game and now you're at home, or a chance to win. Everyone would take MLS Cup. Even all these FC Cincinnati fans would say they would take MLS Cup.
A 100%. Chance to hoist the cup.
Yeah. But it's the fact of who you beat too.
Yeah.
I said this with Cincinnati and I'll say it again. When the Crew played Chicago 2008, which I referenced that game all the time, Eastern Conference Final, they had to go through McBride. It was this whole thing. They'd never gotten to MLS Cup. They'd always gotten stumbled up in the conference finals against DC United previously. They got there again in 2008, and then they had to go through their golden boy, McBride, who's now playing for Chicago, and they did it. They got over that hump. They got to MLS Cup, and it unlocked new things for this team. It made this franchise a different level. That is what FC Cincinnati did not do. We were their Chicago in this game, and they failed the test. It feels really good to not be their Chicago.
That's what I mean.
It feels really good to not be that team that got stepped on and is like, oh, well, I guess you tipped their cap. They just were better. No, they were better possibly for 70 minutes of that game. And then the Crew said, never mind, it's our turn now. And they took the last 50, and it was great.
I got to find a way to get in the building.
We're going to get in. We'll get in. We'll do something. We'll do anything. I will. As I was texting my buddy Chris Blaine, I said, "Are you going to try to get?" He said, "I will do unholy things to get into this game. I'm with him. I'll do whatever." So let's talk about LAFC, who played Houston.
We can talk about Houston too.
Well, I was worried because if you play Houston, man, Artur is. Which talk about another Crew legend.
Yeah.
That guy was just absolutely great in 2020 for the Crew. But now again, really great for Houston this year. He's been playing awesome soccer and got them to a conference final. One of the reasons, right? Steve Clark, who was also in an MLS Cup in 2015 for the Crew, did not go as well. I remember playing goalie for Portland or for Portland. God, he was at Portland at some other time. Houston now. And anyway, they lost LAFC 2-0. The first goal was kind of like one of those build up. You just have the ball and eventually it finds its way to the right guy. LA had like 3 or 4 times where they were offside. Carlos Vela specifically was offside in this game where they had like, at least I want to say 2 times where he was in on goal and it's just like he taps it in and just turns around and knows it's not a goal because he was offside by like 3 feet. So Vela is still dangerous and is still a player.
He's different than what he was 4 years ago.
Yeah. Dennis Bouanga is their guy, though, that is – he's the one pouring in goals for them. 20 goals, 7 assists this year. That's their A number one main threat. But they've got complimentary players all around him. Giorgio Chiellini, ever heard of him? Kind of a legend in soccer.
Like 40 years old, isn't he?
He's 39, yeah. But he is with LAFC.
Jesus.
And, I mean, helped them to win
a chance to go see Giorgio Chiellini.
I know, right? Like, there's that. Like, Chiellini's going to be in the building and possibly playing against your team. What a thing to see. Carlos Vela
and Chiellini had never played together in a World Cup or a Euro. I think that was a random stat from like
really?
Italian soccer that I remember.
I did not know
had
that.
Never like as much as you think of like Italian defenders over the last 20 years.
Yeah.
Like Giorgio Chiellini and then Leonardo Bonucci, like their two main guys, stalwarts, had never played in a World Cup or Euro game together.
That is wild.
Why do I know that? Why is that in my brain? I have no idea, but it's there. Yeah, I mean, he's a stalwart, and if they're down two, like, that's a guy who they'll throw forward because he's a huge dude.
Oh, yeah, big dude, yeah. And he was on a few of, attempts to try to get the ball in. I mean, he was on quite a few of those opportunities where it looked dangerous. He got his head to a few. They didn't end up going in, but LAFC is certainly more than capable of beating the Crew. I'm not trying to say they're not good. They are. They're great. The Crew are, I think, the better team. The question becomes this. They went just last year to MLS Cup. There are still plenty of players from the Crew, or at least a few of them, right, who are in that mix. But even Nagby, he's played in MLS Cup finals. He hasn't played with the Crew in one, but he's been there, right? Aide Morris was clearly in an MLS Cup final. We remember how good he was against Seattle. But you lost a lot of guys off that team. There's been a lot of turnover since then. A lot of guys who were not a part of that run are now here. LAFC just went on that last year and got to and won MLS Cup. They've proven they can get it done. That is their advantage in this game, is that they've been in this environment and they know what it's like.
Right.
Now, everything else, I think, favors the Crew. You're at home. The weather's going to be what you would expect in Ohio, not what you expect in LA.
A rainy Saturday afternoon in Columbus.
That's right. Yeah, it's not Stoke. It's Columbus, but we'll take it.
And it's not a Tuesday. It's a Saturday, but it's the same thing.
The other thing with LA in this game against Houston, you want to take a stab at what Houston's possession number was?
60%.
71%.
Wow.
LA won this game on an own goal. The second goal was an own goal where Houston was frustrated and, you know, they had the ball a lot in the second half and LA was kind of just letting
just
them...
because you have the ball doesn't mean...
No.
Like, possession is such a fickle stat to look at.
Of course it is. Of course. I mean, the Crew had possession, a massive possession advantage in this game.
And it felt like they did in the second half.
Yeah. But early on in that game, they still had a big possession advantage. Yeah. And Cincinnati just did a better job with their chances and found, you know, they created stuff out of little. So that's the thing that makes LA dangerous. They can do that too. I just feel like the Crew are very much, if I'm LAFC, how I'm attacking the Crew is this. I'm letting them have the ball and kick it around in the back, and I'm like keeping my forwards at midfield. I'm not bringing any type of high pressure. I'm not going to get drawn into that. I'm gonna let the Crew just kick it around back there because I think that would frustrate the Crew.
Yeah,
that's what I would do. I don't think they will because I don't think anybody in soccer does that anymore. They all want to bite that apple and try to steal it. The Crew are so good about drawing you out. Mm-hmm. And again, you have forwards like Vela who are so savvy and smart. All it takes is one misplayed ball, and he's going to be in on goal. You know, Bouanga is good enough that if you make one misplay, he's going to be in on goal. So that is something to keep in mind with this team. Like, LAFC is talented. They are going to let you have the ball, I think. The Crew, I think, play better when they have the ball, clearly. But I'm as nervous as you should be for this game. It's a final.
I'm back on the non-nervous train.
Well, yeah, right. I'm just excited. I'm not like I think it's over, but how did you feel in 2015 when OSU beat Alabama in the college football playoffs, and then they had to go play Oregon, a really good team that you haven't seen a lot of because they play out west, but you know they're really good. They had Marcus Mariota. They had a bunch of guys.
My roommate who was on that team at the time came back after they beat Alabama, was like, we just won the national championship.
Right.
They had a whole week, 10 days left to go before they played for a national championship.
I mean, that's how I feel about this game. It's not that it's over, but that, like, yeah, if the Crew play their game, You can very well beat this LA team. I think the Crew should be favored in this game. They will be at home, so I'm assuming they will be. I haven't looked
really
at the line.
Good at home.
Yeah, I mean they're excellent at home. This is now all that goes out the window, right? We saw in the Cincinnati game, it was Cincinnati's better second half team, Crew are better first half team, and then what happened? The exact opposite of that occurred. Yep. So you can't go off of what it is. This is an MLS Cup final. This is a whole different ball of wax than the regular season.
Last time that we played in an MLS Cup final,
I do.
It's an ass kicking.
Yeah, against a team from the West Coast that everyone loved in MLS and was so excited about, that had all these studs. Yeah, it was an ass kicking. It was ridiculous ass kicking. Three goals. I wonder if Cucho has like all three accounts for all three like Zelrayan did from assisting and all that. I don't know. But here, it doesn't matter.
Yaya Boas or Derek Etienne this time? Far post curler.
I don't care if it ends up being Patrick Schulte like runs up and just boots one from midfield because their keeper's way out and it goes in that way and it barely taps across the line and it goes in and it's 1-0. I don't care how you win. You got one more game to win, boys, and it's MLS Cup for the Crew.
It's like just found.
Oh, it's found money. Absolutely.
I was going to say found money or it was like found excitement. I mean, it is. It's found endorphins for me.
Oh, it's so good,
such
man.
An endorphin rush.
It is so good to have something to be excited about. And that's what the Crew have given me more than any other team in the last 20 years in Columbus. So even more than the Buckeyes. Buckeyes get me excited. And then I get a lot of, frustration or they lost the wrong game. The Crew seem to be in the mix a lot more for me. And so I'm thrilled about that. I'm thrilled about this weekend. And the last thing I will say, and we can wrap this up. Anything you see, MLS is going to come in and take over this town. They are going to have appearances. You will see celebrities in town, soccer, like all of soccer celebrity-dom will be here.
Messi will be here, yeah.
You know what? You might not. You're probably right. I bet they find a way to get him here if he's available. I'm not kidding. He may be somewhere in Columbus this week because they may say, hey, remember all that money Apple gave you? This is a big deal for us. We'd like you to be around MLS Cup. At least come sign autographs or something.
Come and find him and Beamer at Bob's Bar drinking hams.
No, but they will. I remember when MLS Cup came in 2015, and I went to a lot of those events around town. If you get a chance to go to one or if you hear of something, go check them out. I mean, they do a good job with, like, on a very short notice, taking over a town. We've been told that they take over the stadium on Thursday. Like, the Crew give them the keys, basically, and say, this is your venue. We're out of it.
Yep.
And they then run that venue through Saturday night when the game ends. So if you have any problems getting in, that's not the Crew's fault. That's on MLS. But my point is, we are going to try to be out there as much as we can as a station. We do not know yet when and where. We are hopeful to do some stuff Friday, maybe some stuff Saturday. Just keep your eyes peeled if you want to come out and hang out. I'm sure we'll see you all there.
Here's the last thing, which makes this Crew victory over Cincinnati so much sweeter. I saw Steve Cirk tweet this out. It was only the third time in Crew history that you had ever fallen behind 2-0 on the road and came back to win.
Wow. In Crew history. Not in the playoffs, not in the last 5 years.
Hell is real was the third in franchise history. Philadelphia in 2014. You had Chicago last year on Cucho's debut, and now this past one.
And what's been the knock on this team going back the last few years? Can't win games on the road. Well, that's a narrative put to bed.
Yep.
Right? Orlando, now this one, and now you get to go play at home. So it's for all the marbles, kids. It's going to be a lot of fun. We'll have plenty to say about it, but obviously
I won't have a kidney next week. I'm going to sell that to get into the door.
Yeah. Well, my kidney may get sold, and then my liver will just be shot. Yeah, that's good. We're going to be down a few organs next week.
Hey,
but
you would be proud of me because the Eastern Conference trophy, Trophy was here in the building. Rob from the Crew came by, and they were over at the TV station, and he texted me. He was like, hey, do you want us to bring the cup by? And I'm like, yeah, sure. He brings it out of the box. He had the white gloves and everything. And he was like, here, do you want to hold it? And I said, whoa, man, no.
Yeah.
I don't want to touch that sucker. MLS Cup, they win that. I'm going to pour 6 beers into it and drink at 7 o'clock in the morning if you do it again.
I encourage every fan to get, I hope you get a chance to, but also I will tell you, I got to drink out of a Trillium cup once. They're heavy. So just be, you might need some assistance on that because these things are But God, I remember 2008, we went to the airport. Gino Padula is carrying the trophy back through the airport. God, what a moment that was. So much fun. I can't wait. And by the way, you have a perfect venue now to do the parade.
Yeah.
It goes, you start up by Nationwide, by the arena, by the Nationwide buildings, and you go right down and finish at the stadium. And then Crew fans just follow in behind the trophy president. And then we all march to the stadium, and then we have a big trophy celebration at the stadium.
We all go to Betty's.
I'm just telling you, next time they win one, if it's this weekend or 10 years from now, you got to have a parade. I want a damn parade. If we ever get one, please do an MLS Cup parade if it ever happens. But too early to think about that because we still have to win this game. Let's do that, and then let's plan the celebration after.
3-0.
3-0.
Yep.
You know what? If the refs hadn't screwed us, we said 3-1, it would have been right.
I know it would have.
Actually, we wouldn't have even got to 3-1. It would have been 2-1 because we would have just.
Well, we would have put another one in it.
You're right. We would have finished it up because they would have played different. You're exactly right. We were right. Damn it. We were right. Brandon Vasquez tripping himself doesn't count. That's what I say. All right. That's it for us. Thank you for listening. Go Crew. Go win MLS Cup. We'll see you later.